Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
All right, Rob, speaking of looking old, I'm sure you watched the Cowboys-Saints game last night. Cowboys win in a pretty ugly one.
That was a cha-ching for Shekel City. I just want to let you know that.
You did? Okay, good. Congratulations. We don't get many of those, so congratulations. But Ezekiel Elliott, Rob, 13 carries, 45 yards. That's 3.5 yards a carry.
And at least Rob, he's consistent.
He is consistently
bad.
Yeah, like over the last six games or so, that's what he's averaging, about 3.5 yards a carry. Look, he's got this, I don't know what, how to describe it, sore right knee. It's certainly bothering him a little bit. He won't use it as an excuse. There doesn't seem to be any thought of holding him out. But he does appear to be hampered, Rob. And I believe this. I do firmly believe Zeke wants to play. I believe the Cowboys want to play him. But I believe, Rob, part of why Ezekiel Elliott does not want to, like, take a game off, you know, and he does have about 10 days in between their next game. They get, like, you know, the mini bye kind of before they play Washington two Sundays from now.
Right.
But, Rob, and I'm not saying this as an insult or a slight or, like, a knock at his character because I think it's a human reaction. I've felt this way before. Obviously, I played at a much lower level, but I felt this. I think everybody, if they would be honest, has felt this. Ezekiel Elliott, Rob, I do believe, doesn't want to sit out like a week, a game, because he's afraid that Tony Pollard will take his job.
Now,
Tony Pollard's already been more impressive than him.
So are you trying to say, like, if you had a radio show and you worked every single holiday, that I'm afraid to take off? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you No, I am not saying that.
Is that what you're saying? Like, Rob doesn't even take off for Christmas because he don't want to.
I mean, no,
like,
way. Like, Rob, I know Rob G's motives, right?
Rob, like, Rob G's the one pushing me to take off for the holidays, you know?
Right. But I'm not saying that. And I'm going to say this. Look, just quickly. Tony Pollard's averaging 5.6 yards a carry. Zeke's averaging 4.4, which isn't horrible, to be honest. It's actually pretty, you know, it's average for good backs. But Zeke has like 160 more yards than Tony Pollard in about 65 more carries. So I just think that, look, he saw what happened last night. We all saw it. Tony Pollard broke off a 58-yarder, the longest run by a Cowboy in 4 years. And Tony Pollard has been balling. I do think this, Rob, and I'm done. I'm going to let you say your piece after this. I think the Cowboys are kind of afraid to run Pollard more often because he don't get a lot of rushes. You know, for a guy that's that productive. I mean, last night he had 7 the game before he had 10. His high for the season is 14. I get it. He's a backup. But I think they're afraid he would get hurt because he's a smaller guy. But that's my thinking, Rob, that Zeke is like, man, this dude, we all see what's happening. I'm not sitting out because I might not get it back.
I think you have misread Ezekiel Elliott. And I know Chris things haven't gone well for him, but I think he doesn't want to come out because he wants to play, and he still thinks he can contribute.
I think that's part of it.
And he still thinks that if I just need to break one. I just need things to kind of return back to where they were. And like you said, it ain't awful, his yards per carry, right? Like, it's not awful.
He's riding off those first few really good games.
Okay, but yeah. I'm just saying.
But you're right. Overall, it's not bad.
He still believes that he can be that guy. It wasn't 10 years ago. It's been a few years, and, you know, he hadn't been the guy that a couple years ago when the Cowboys were rolling, and it was about Ezekiel Elliott. Let's just talk about it.
No,
it was it was all about him, everybody was into Dak, but Dak was like secondary. It was like Ezekiel's the best running back in the league. And the Cowboys were rolling. They were winning 13 games back then, Chris, when he was rushing for 100 yards. And I think that's what he yearns for, and that's why he doesn't want to come out. He still feels like his time has not come and gone, that he just needs to keep working at it until he can break a couple and kind of regain that. I don't think he's afraid, you know, to let Tony Pollard get in there. I just think he still believes he's good enough and that he shouldn't have to give up his gig because he still has ability. And when the Cowboys were the Cowboys and they were the danger in the league and people were ranting and raving about him, it was when he was driving the bus. And he still believes he can drive the bus. That's why I think he still wants to go out there.
I believe Zeke thinks he can still do it. I don't disagree with anything you said there. But I also, both can be true. I think he thinks I can go out there and shine and be the old Zeke. And he also is like, and I better be the old Zeke because this young boy is coming. All right, I think Zeke is a great teammate. You never hear anything bad about him. I think his relationship with Pollard is good. But he's a human being, Rob. When you play sports, I mean, I played sports. I wanted to win. I was a team guy. But I wanted to do my thing, too. I didn't want a backup coming out and taking my job. I mean, can you admit that? Like, you don't think any of these starters are like, I want to, like Michael Jordan said it, and I love it because it's honest. Michael Jordan said, I always wanted to win. And I wanted to be the reason we won. Right?
Ain't nothing wrong with that. I like that mentality.
I know. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I agree with what you said about Zeke, but I also think he ain't blind. And he sees that, man, this dude, I mean, you've been hearing people talking all year, maybe even more than a year, that Pollard, man, Pollard's got more burst. Pollard's got more zest. Let me give you this stat quickly, Rob, and then we'll go to the listeners. Ezekiel Elliott, a big measuring stick for running backs is this, yards beyond expected. So that's like you're expected to get a certain number of yards because of the offensive line and how they block. And then they have a measurement of how many yards do you get beyond, right? Beyond what they block for you. Like if they block any back, any average back in the NFL can get the yards they're supposed to get. How many are you getting beyond that? Well, since week 6, Rob, and we're in week 13, Ezekiel Elliott's yards above expected. Take a guess what it is.
Is it negative or positive?
Take a guess.
Plus 2.
Negative 68.
Okay, that's not good.
So he's not even getting the yards he's expected to get. All right? And so, by comparison, Jonathan Taylor leads the league with positive 0.23. All right.
But
per carry. Per carry. 0.23 per carry. Zeke's negative 0.28 per carry. So there you have it.
Okay, but one thing you have missed is Ezekiel Elliott does lead the league in one thing.
I know a joke's coming. I know you.
Halter tops pulled down. All right, never mind.
Wow. He got a rim shot for that?
No, why not?
Standards are low right now, see?
Yes. It is the holiday time. This is charity. Thank you. Thank you. All is that my Christmas gift, Alex?
Yeah, I'll give you one more, Rob.
All right, thank you.
I wish my Christmas gift for Rob could be so simple.
No, you're getting a playlist,
CB. By the
way,
I just got your Christmas gift today in the mail, Rob.
Don't open it.
I didn't open it. If I open the package, will it?
No.
Is it wrapped?
Yeah, it's wrapped.
Okay, so
I can open
the box.
Okay. Right.
All right. But yeah, I got to still go get yours.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about it. Jim Harbaugh under fire for several years. I was one that thought, you know, yes, he hasn't lived up to the contract, but he has returned Michigan to national prominence. They had been in the top 15 once in the previous eight seasons that before he got there. Well, can I finish? Can a brother finish?
Go ahead, finish. I just want before you glad handing them before they lose Saturday.
They're actually called facts. That's all them. They're called facts. And now in his six previous years that he's been there, they were finished in the top 15 three times. So I was like, look, I mean, Michigan, Robin, you know this as well as anyone. When they've won one national championship. You know, they won two, actually. One back in, like, 1948 or something.
Yeah,
like
but
that.
They used a pig in that game.
Really. I mean, right? In modern football, and I'm talking about since, like, the 60s or whatever, they've got one national championship. It was 1997 when they really, Rob, we know it, were mythical, right?
Right.
Were mythical titles back then. They didn't do it on the field necessarily. Right. They split that year. Even in their heyday, they weren't the best program in the nation, and they weren't ever winning national championships. They just be good, be in the hunt, playing the Rose Bowl here and there. And he's gotten them back to that. But he hadn't won he was 1-4 in bowl games. He was 3-4 against Michigan State, still is, lost the last two. And he was 0-5 against the biggest rival, Ohio State. So he needed the win. And he got it. But you're right. They got to win tomorrow against Iowa. Or I wouldn't say it's all for naught. You know Michigan better than me, having worked there. Because beating Ohio State, obviously, you know.
No, it's
valuable.
A big deal.
Right.
It's a big deal.
If they don't finish this off, Rob, come on.
I agree, okay, from the standpoint of, yes, the history is one that they revel in. Even Bo Schembechler, their legendary coach, who we know Chris is involved, still like his name with some bad stuff that went on with the doctor there and all that.
Right,
okay.
Right.
But he's a legendary coach there who never won a national championship. Never.
Yep.
But they revere Bo Schembechler.
Their practice facility, and it's like a museum.
Yeah, he has a statue out front of the football office.
Right.
Yep. Bo Schembechler and all that. But he never won the big one.
Right.
You know, back then it was the what did they say, the Big Two and the Little Eight when it was the Big Ten. It was Ohio State, Michigan, and the Little Eight. That's what it was.
Let's stay there for a moment. I think it was Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan.
No, not
remember
then.
Remember how great Penn State was with Joe Paterno? Penn State was phenomenal.
No, I know, but I'm saying what they always talked about. It was Ohio State and Michigan. I understand what you're talking about with Joe Paterno, but when they used to talk about the Big Ten, it was always about those two schools. Like that was
because Penn State was. I mean, Penn State did win national championships, or at least you know a couple. He won it in '86. He won it in '82. So they were. If you want to say it was a Big Three, but Michigan. Penn State under Joe Paterno was a better program even than Michigan under Schembechler.
But they weren't rivals. They weren't rivals with those schools, Chris, is what I'm saying. There's no big Penn State-Michigan game.
Well, Ohio State-Michigan is the big game.
That's what I'm just saying. It was about those two schools. My point is that...
Because Penn State, I don't even think they were... Were they not in the Big Ten?
No, that's what. No,
they moved. They joined the Big Ten.
They moved to the Big Ten. That's what I'm saying. When Bo Schembechler, that's why I was like, it wasn't about Penn State back then.
Penn State was, they were a great program, but they were elsewhere, right?
Right. Okay, but they moved into the Big Ten.
1990, right. They joined the Big Ten in 1990.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. It was never about Penn State. But it was about Michigan and Ohio State. And the bottom line was about this. Michigan, Chris, went and got Jim Harbaugh because he was supposed to finally take them to that next level. Now that there was a college football playoff, right? Michigan wanted to be a part of it. It wasn't good enough with Brady Hoke and Rich Rod Reeves, you know, and those guys who were there before. So they were looking for Michigan to take that next step. I'm not saying they had to win a championship every year, but people were bummed out that they weren't in the mix at all, Chris. That was the thing that tarnished Jim Harbaugh, even when he was winning 10 games and whatnot, Chris, because he wasn't beating the top 10 or top 15 ranked opponents. He had a terrible record against them.
And he was paid so much.
And he was one of the top four coaches as far as salary in college football. And guess what? The other three in that four, Chris, they all won a national championship. Right. The only guy who didn't was Harbaugh.
Right.
So.
And you know, I said when they were messing with his contract, I said, look, I bring him back.
No, you said it for a pay cut. Yeah. But it also told you where he was, Chris, as far as being wounded. Because you don't see coaches with that name and reputation taking a pay cut in college football.
Right. Right.
They're giving Lincoln Riley hasn't won anything, Chris. And you saw what USC gave him. Haven't won anything.
Yep.
I mean, zero. Think about that.
Been to the playoffs three times, but.
But he hadn't won.
Yeah.
And he got a $6 million house in L.A. And he hadn't won one playoff game. Who is he, Matthew Stafford? I mean, seriously.
Well, but anyway. You know, Rob, though, if you're in the hunt, you got to be in the hunt.
Okay.
Brian Kelly never won it. But here's my point, though.
I think they have to beat Iowa. I really do. I think they have to finish the job if you want to take a look at this season because they came in there. What were they, 7-0, Chris, along with Michigan State?
Well, they lost to Michigan State.
No, but they were 7-0. They were both undefeated.
Yes.
They lose to Michigan State after leading at the half and the second half and giving
they
it up.
They had that game. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Then they get the unbelievable win and blow out Ohio State. So now people are looking going, is he going to seal the deal? Because if they win, they're going to be in the college football playoff, Chris.
Yep.
That's how big this is. And then it validates everything he's done, and his name is not, you know, muddied, soiled, whatever it was.
He's a made man, finally. Wouldn't you say that? He'd be a made man.
Because that was why he went there. That was what he was brought there to do, was to get them in the college football playoffs. So he would, mission accomplished. Did it take longer than we thought? 6 years, right? Longer?
This is seventh year, I believe. Yeah.
Did it take longer, Chris?
Yes.
But did he ultimately get there? Yes.
Well, I'm with you. They got to beat Iowa. And I get it. He'll, you know, they all love him now because he finally beat Ohio State. You've had a great season. But, Rob, they got to beat Iowa. Iowa's number 13. All right? You can't. And look. Beware of Ohio State. And I'm not saying – this is not taking anything away from Michigan. But Ohio State demolished Michigan State the week before they played
demolished.
Michigan. That's not even a strong enough word. 56-7. All right? And did that have some impact on them? I mean, they're human beings, and they're 19- and 20-year-old human beings, Rob. Maybe they thought I know they prepared. It's a rivalry. I'm sure Ryan Day got them up for the game.
Right.
But is it human nature to even subconsciously be like, man, Michigan State beat them? And look at what we did to Michigan State. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And next thing you know, you're in a dog fight. And they got all the momentum, and you can't get it back. And so Michigan, I get celebrating like they'd won the Rose Bowl, Rob.
It was a long time coming. Yep. And normally, Chris, I would be against that. But they to lose to your arch rival and have your guy, you know, who played for Bo Schembechler, who was the star quarterback.
From Ann Arbor, too, I believe.
Comebacks from, right, Ann Arbor. Yep. He's a native, like his family is from Ann Arbor, Michigan. I mean, he's the prodigal son. And I think that's why I'd look the other way when they went crazy, because I think it was just built up and they couldn't believe it because they weren't favorite. After what Ohio State did to Michigan State, most people thought they were going to lose.
Yeah, I thought they were going to lose by 2 to 3 touchdowns. And I was stunned by how well they played. And it was great. It was a great win. At one point, I think they were up to number 3 or 4. I mean, they're a good football team, but I've watched them. They're not – Michigan should beat them.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
And our next guest played quarterback for the University of Michigan from 2010 through 2014. Now a ballyhooed Fox college football analyst.
Star in the making.
Yes. Welcome in Devin Gardner. Devin, what's up, man?
What's happening, my friend? Where have you been? Like, you guys don't love me no more, man.
This is how much more chipper and excited he sounds, Rob.
He feels great.
Usually when Michigan is in the doldrum, he's like, hey, guys, how y'all doing?
No, he wouldn't come on. We were trying to get him.
We've been trying to get you on. You the one been in hiding, not us.
Yeah, I've been busy. But the thing is, I'm going to tell you what's happening right now. I'm in Indianapolis, and I'm walking around with my chest really, really far out. I'm talking about people can't even get by me.
I believe it.
You deserve it, man. And let's be honest. Now, look, my daughter went to Michigan.
Chris wanted the money he paid to Michigan.
They didn't beat Ohio State all the years she was there. And so I was pulling for Michigan. But honestly, man, I thought they were going to get beat by 2 to 3 touchdowns. Honest feeling. Well, I imagine you went on TV and picked Michigan because you went there. But honestly, what was your feeling going into the game? Did you think they were going to win that game?
I did not second guess this. I first guessed it. I made a bold prediction on one of my shows on Bally Sports, and I said that Michigan will be in the playoff for the first time. And people were like, well, and I knew people would think, well, what about Ohio State? And they said, I'm not even going to call that a bold prediction because it's a given that they will beat Ohio State. And then I picked the score to be 42-38, but Ohio State didn't hold up their side, so now I don't look like Nostradamus like I was supposed to.
Wow. Unbelievable.
So what were you so convinced? I mean, what made you feel like Michigan was that good?
So I could see that, first of all, the weather is going to be very cold, right? And the way that Ohio State plays football, you got a California kid who's never been in the rivalry, right? That stuff matters. Everybody wants to think it's just kids going out there playing football. Hey, this team's better and they should win. No, the weather plays in a part. The fact that a lot of kids on the Ohio State roster hadn't been in the rivalry, and the fact that a lot of kids on Michigan's roster definitely have been in the rivalry, right? And the most important player, the running back, who when Michigan was getting throttled, that was the one guy on that roster at the University of Michigan that was still playing hard, and that is our running back, Kassan Haskins. So I thought that those things, you know, if everything worked in our favor and worked in that way, which you got the snow and all these different things, that Michigan will really be able to control the line of scrimmage. Right, that offensive line is outstanding. Right, they played extremely well. They protect the quarterback well, and they also move people off the ball. So that's what I thought it would be. Mm. And it's just like in that type of weather, the throw it around all the time, that's not the team that wins, right? That's why the Pac-12 can't compete, right? That's not the team that wins. It's the team that can run the football in the weather, and like you see it in the NFL all the time, and that's kind of why I thought that Michigan would dominate the game.
Now, here we go, Chris. You also picked Michigan State to beat Michigan, right?
No, I did not.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Just wanted to check.
But Rob, don't be like that, Rob. You saw the game.
Oh, that's Rob. He can't help himself.
I can't help. You already know.
Don't be like that. No, you already.
I just want.
You know that them referees took that off that touchdown off the board, and if they hadn't done that, Michigan State would not have been able to play the way they wanted to play, and they would have had to use their quarterback, and their quarterback wouldn't have been able to do it, and it would have got blasted just like Ohio State.
All right, and can you admit this, Devin? Can you admit that Jim Harbaugh's tenure had been a failure coming into this year because no other college football coach had taken a pay cut other than Jim Harbaugh? I told you what they thought of him and that he couldn't go back to the NFL. Nobody wanted him. His name was sullied a little bit. Can we admit that?
You use such strong in words. Failure? Why got to be failure? I mean, 9 games here and there. Do it got to be the word failure?
Maybe yes, it was and Sully. That's what
standard. You know, why does it have to be always failure with you? My goodness, Rob.
That's what I do.
That's what he does. That's what he does.
In all seriousness, it wasn't nearly what Michigan people thought it would be. Right, Michigan fans thought they would get the guy that Ohio State got in Urban Meyer. Right, they thought that they would get the person that would have them competitive, and at the onset, right in the beginning, it did look like that. Like every year is going to be a battle, and it kind of faded away, and it was a lot of because you didn't get the quarterback position right. But he did find a way to build the offensive line, and I'm going to just tell you why this team is so good. And it's some X's and O's, but it's a lot of other things. Coach Harbaugh was kind of against having players back and all these different things. And for me, I thought that that was a mistake. I thought that was a huge mistake because that helps your program. When you got former players and the pride of Michigan, right, you can bleed that into the new players that come from other states and different things like that. That helps your program, right? And he was a bit arrogant in the fact that, hey, I'm going to do this by myself and it's all good. And when it started off so good, he was able to stand strong in that. Now, coming into this year, he's infused some new talent as coaches, some young guys, right, some guys with some poise. He brought Mike Hart back. And also, he has players all over the program. And it's no coincidence that they're playing so well. So I think that's a big part of the success that he's having. And I think that he has to stay with this, where he's allowing players to come back. And they did a few times where they had players make videos for the rivalry games and different things like that. And that helps your program, period. Especially out of Michigan or USC or Ohio State or whatever.
Devin, you obviously think you picked them to make the playoffs, so you obviously think they're going to beat Iowa.
Right.
Do you think they have a chance to win the national championship? I don't mean, anything can happen, never
say
never.
Do you think they
have a legitimate chance to beat Georgia or Alabama or whoever they'll have to beat to win the national championship? Maybe both.
I do. And a lot of people are going to think I'm crazy when I say the reason. It's not because of the team that's tried out there every single time. Because I don't think that Cade McNamara, as much as he's played well and differently, I don't think he has the skill or the big play ability to beat these other teams. Like, and when I say other teams, obviously I mean Georgia and teams like that. But I think that the young quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, does, right? And so if they find a way to get him to get some explosive plays and things like that, I think that'll really, really help the chances, and that will give them a chance.
All right, here was the last thing for me. I just want to, I can't let this all be sunshine and lollipops. So Michigan is a 10.5-point favorite. If they lose to Iowa, where do we go from here? What is Jim Harbaugh saved?
Because why are we talking about losses? Don't be doing all this cold.
I'm a reporter. I'm just want to cover both sides of the story just in case.
Well, I'm going to just tell you, it shouldn't be a just in case, but since you want to twist my arm about it,
yes,
if we have to live in the what ifs, if they do not win this game, Jim Harbaugh has still taken a step in the right direction because he beat Ohio State. And you know how it is in Michigan. You've been around it. You were there for a very long time. If you beat Ohio State, if you don't win any other game, everybody looks at the season as a success. Now, would it be a bit of a disappointment that you don't win the Big Ten championship? And then, because Ohio State's not getting any worse, right? So you're going to have to continue to get better if you're going to beat them every year. But for this year, a lot of people will look at this season as a big-time success because he finally got that monkey off his back of beating Ohio State. With all that being said, that's not going to happen.
Okay.
Not going to lose tomorrow.
You know what? I love when everybody uses that term, monkey off his back. You know that's a drug reference, right?
Yeah, it felt like a losing drug.
Yes, it is. I know a lot of people use that. I don't know if they really know what that comes from. But anyway. All right, I'm listening.
And you'll be, you, 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 Now you were at you'll be at the game hosting hosting the Fox Live tailgate show at the championship game, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, I will.
Okay. All right, man.
With RJ Young and Jeff Schwartz and Braylon Edwards.
Okay.
Oh, very
Braylon.
Nice. All right. Braylon, yeah, he was supposed to be on our show a couple weeks ago. Something happened. Right? Did he come on? No, we did have him on.
No.
We had him on.
Oh, I was off that day.
Chris, you were off. Chris is off like
unbelievably,
every other week.
I was off.
Yeah. I know. Chris just come when I come. Chris Broussard just come when I come because that's enough. Now, on the other hand, you got Rob Parker who just keep on trying to. I don't know what you're trying to do. I want you to leave
his,
me alone.
You know his motto.
Leave us alone.
If he's writing, he's ripping.
That's right.
His motto. That's his motto. So, all right,
so
guys. Devin Gardner.
Nothing positive.
Former Michigan quarterback now doing a great job as a Fox college football analyst. Check him out. He'll be hosting the Fox Live tailgate show Saturday, tomorrow, at the Big Ten championship game. You can also follow him on Twitter at Devin, D-E-V-I-N, Gardner, X-C-I, all caps. All right. All right, brother. We appreciate